Amen. My style of preaching, I guess, is different. I don't really go to a verse. I just preach and put it in there as we go. So you take it home, look it up later if you don't believe me. I know it's in there. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to talk about worship today. Worship. Praise and worship. You know, when I asked the question, to people, what does praise and worship mean? And I would dare say some Christians would say, well, oh, that's what you go to church to do. You know, that's what we do at our church. That's what we go to church on Sunday morning to do, is praise and worship. We have an awesome praise and worship team, amen? And we just sing and worship the Lord, and which is true, but I want to express to you today that it's more than that. Amen? It's more than that. Worship should extend to every area of our lives, every day of our life, and not something we just do on Sunday morning services. Amen? Yeah. Not something we just do on Sunday morning services. So I want to issue your challenge, a challenge to you today to think about this. Does your Monday through Saturday life reflect your Sunday morning worship? Does your Monday through Saturday life reflect your Sunday morning worship? We should not just come to worship service, but bring our worship to church. And when we leave worship services, leave church, we should take it with us. Don't leave it, then decide, go through all week, just barely making it, and say, I can't wait to get to church on Sunday morning so I can get some worship in. That makes for a long week. Yes. Amen. So worship is about a relationship with the one true God. It's an attitude of the heart. And everything that we do in life, we should do all to the glory of God. Colossians says in 3:17, whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything, in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence on Him. So we don't have to do this by ourselves in our own strength. Amen? Right. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And 1 Corinthians says, 10:31 says, whether therefore you eat, drink, or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Worship is more than just music. But when you begin to say what worship is, you begin to think about music. It's only a small part of worship. Music is just a way to connect us to God. It's just an avenue for us to contact God with and to adore Him and to lift Him up. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:9 the purpose for which we are called. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him, the worship of Him, who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Now, some people say, well, praise is different, worship is different. I think it all just goes together. Because you can't have praise without worship, and you can't have worship without praise. But when you begin to praise, there is a worship that should come out of you that brings you directly into the presence of God. Then you begin to praise the worth of the King. Amen? So we are created for worship. We're called, not only called, but created for the purpose of praising God and worshiping God. That is what we are called to do, to have fellowship with God. We are created for worship. God is our creator. We were His idea after all. Amen? He created us to show forth His praises. Created means to fashion. It means to form like clay. It means to design. In other words, we were hardwired for worship. Have you ever heard of something being hardwired? You are hardwired for worship, which means whatever circuit you're referring to, usually the incoming power, is wired up in such a way that you can't just unhook it or unplug it. It's there. All you got to do, Gail, is turn the switch on. You're already hardwired to do it. You just got to turn the switch on. It's already there. Glory to God. Worship is an urge within all of us by God into every fiber of our being. You were born to show forth the praises of your Creator. That's what you were born to do, and it's as natural as breathing. When people fail to worship God, they always find a substitute. They always bring something else into their lives, and it moves out the preeminence of God. Whether it's money, whether it's another person, whether it's a job, whether it's a car. You see, worship is not just for our benefit, but for God's. And it's the only thing that we have to give to God, because He don't need anything else. He just uses those other things we give Him, such as money and our time and our talents. And the only thing that we have to give God is our worship. Isn't that powerful? You want to give God something? Give Him your praise and give Him your worship, and not just on Sunday morning. Amen? Because we don't have anything to give God, because He is God. He made it all. The Bible said He made the world and the fullness therein. David said, there ain't nowhere I can go to get away from Him. Amen? So if we don't worship to please ourselves, our highest motive should be to exalt God in whatever we do. That is why worship is not defined to a church building, to a particular place. The secret of worship is doing everything as unto the Lord. In Hebrew and Greek, there are two major kinds of words of worship. The first means to bow down, to kneel, to put one's face down as an act of respect and submission. And our body language is saying, I will do whatever you want me to do. I'm ready to listen to your instructions, and I'm willing to obey. That's when praise takes you into worship. You have a total ear to hear what God is saying then. Amen. The other kind of biblical word means to serve. And half of the time these words are translated as worship, and then sometimes it's translated as serve. It carries the idea of doing something for God, making a sacrifice, carrying out His instruction. And the English word comes from the Old English words, W-E-O-R-T-H, which means worth. W-O-R-T-H. And S-C-I-P-E, or ship, which means something like shape or quality. So worth ship is the quality of having worth or being worthy. When we worship, we are saying that God has worth. You are worthy to be worshipped. You are worthy to be praised. And it means to declare worth, to attribute worth to. Or to put it in biblical terms so that we can understand it, it means to praise God, to sing, to speak about how good and how powerful our God is. And you may say, well, you know, I don't understand what you're saying. What does that have to do with worship in everyday life? I'm glad you asked that, because I'm going to tell you. Because you cannot worship something without drawing attention to it and becoming like that which you worship. Because that which you worship, you become like. Amen? So it becomes a part of who you are. So the more that you worship and allow God to be first place in your life, guess what you're going to take on? You're going to take on the character of God. And it becomes a part of who you are. And who you are is a reflection into your daily life. Because who you are will come out in your daily life when the rubber hits the road, so to speak. Therefore, I urge you, brother, Romans 12:1 says, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, present your bodies, dedicating all of yourself, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your what? Rational, logic, intelligent, reasonable act of worship. The Message Bible reads it this way. Here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. God wants you to take your what you think is your ordinary life, and God loves to take ordinary things and make something extraordinary out of them. Amen? But he said, I want you to take that at Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning. Amen? And I want you to present it to me as a living sacrifice. So worship does not just happen on Sunday. It should be part of our life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And it should be just as natural as the breath that we take. Amen. Colossians 3:22-24 says, servants, in everything, obey those who are your masters on earth. Not only with external service, as those who merely please people, but with sincerity of heart because of your fear of the Lord. Whatever you do, whatever your task may be, work from the soul. That is, put in your very best effort as something done for the Lord and not for men, knowing with all certainty that it is from the Lord and it's not from men, that you will receive the inheritance which is your greatest reward. It is the Lord Christ whom you actually serve. If we take our Monday through Saturday life going to work as a worship to the Lord, you know why you come home grumpy and all out of sorts? It's because you have not used that day as a service unto the Lord and allowed Him in the workplace with you. And we'll get to more of that in a minute. Ephesians 6:5 says, through 8 says, servants, respectfully obey your earthly masters, but always with an eye to obeying the real master. Don't just do what you have to do to get by. Don't you just hate working with people like that? But work heartily as Christ's servants, doing what God wants you to do, and work with a smile on your face. Always keeping in mind that no matter who happens to be given the orders, you're really serving God. Good work will get you good pay from the master, regardless of whether you are slave or free. God gave you that job, and you should do it heartily as unto the Lord. And you're going to stay there as long as you stay grumpy, so you might as well get over it. There is nothing more powerful than a person who's at a workplace sold out to Jesus. I'm not talking about these Bible-thumping people that beats people over the head with the word and tells them if they don't straighten their life out, they're going to hell. But I'm talking about going in and loving people where they're at, and you knew they were all out all night with no telling who, and party hardy. You don't do thump them over the head and tell them they're going to hell, but you love them where they're at. You hug them and tell them that you appreciate them. And that they're glad, you're glad that you're their work partner, and that you've been put together. That's worshiping. And that's serving the Lord. Your job should be a platform for evangelism. Amen. Amen. And promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And loving people where they're at. Use your everyday going about life in worship to God as a platform to witness the grace of God. Because if you ever thought where you'd been if it had not been for the grace of God, sometimes we forget. You are serving Jesus, not your company and not your boss. You are not just on an assembly line. You are not just typing letters. You are not just flipping hamburgers. But you are anointed to do that which you are doing at the moment. The Bible says in Psalms, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it, the world and those who dwell in it. Some may think, I wouldn't give that boss no praise at all. Well, that boss of yours just may need Jesus, and you're the only skin that Jesus sees or that people see. You're the only Jesus in skin people sees. Worship is an attitude of the heart. What if you changed your attitude instead of grumbling and complaining about your job and start being thankful? Thankfulness is a part of worship. And you may say, I don't like the place where I am. It could not be at a job. It could be just where you're at right now in this season in your life. But say, I'm thankful for this time of where I am at. I may not like the hours. I may not like the pay. I may not even like the people, especially the boss. But God says that if you will worship me in this season of your life, whether it's on your job or whatever season you're in at this moment, there's something better coming, so don't you quit. Amen. Amen. Stay calm and keep running. Amen. Stay calm and keep running. So if you have an attitude 6 days a week of thankful worship, because being thankful is a part of worship, when we come to church on Sunday morning, you won't have to get warmed up to praise God. Because you brought worship with you.
That's right.
My daddy used to have this pump well, and you have to prime it up before you get water out. And sometimes that's like praise and worship is. Sometimes I like preaching. And you're thinking, come on, people, y'all wearing me out.
Right. Yeah.
Hallelujah. So you'll already be primed up and ready to go when you get here. Why? Because you've been in worship all week. You've been thankful. You've had a spirit of gratitude. Hallelujah. So when we come together, what if everybody come next Sunday and worship God all week in whatever circumstance they were in? Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. You're talking about the glory of God being in the place. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Because you have brought worship with you. Worship involves speaking, listening, and doing. It's a worship that expresses the heart, worship that involves the mind, and worship that involves your body. And there is a worship that is a giving of praise upward, and worship that receives instruction from above, and worship that carries it as a witness in the world around us when we go out there. And all three types of this worship is part of our life as sons and daughters of God. God's sons and daughters leaving the corporate place of worship here and scattered back out into the world to bring what you have learned here out there. Because we are a soul-building station. Sinners is not going to come to a place that they know nothing about. And sinners definitely don't want to come to a place if you claim to be a Christian and you're beating them on the head with the Bible every day. Amen? But scatter out wherever you go and take the message of grace. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Matthew 13, it says we are to be salt and light of the earth. It says, let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. And every one of us is a different flavor. God will work with your personality. When you're on that platform of evangelism, wherever you're at, He will take you and speak through you. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept because we're going public with this. As a public, a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? Quit trying to run from what God wants you to do. I'm putting you on a light stand. Now keep that. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, the generous God in heaven. So I'm here to tell you, church, that we have been saved out of this world to be sent back into this world, to witness to this world. And that is why we are in this world, until we are taken out of this world. We are called to be salt and light and do it as an act of worship to God. So as we read earlier in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink, and whatever you do, whether it's a 6K or dipping ice cream at Dairy Queen, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Psalms 100 says, shout joyfully to the earth, to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness and delight. Come before his presence. And when we think that, we think about coming to church and coming before his presence. Know and fully recognize with gratitude that the Lord himself is God, and it is he who has made us and not we ourselves. And we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with a song of thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Bless and praise his name. For the Lord is good all the time. His mercy and loving kindness are everlasting. His faithfulness endures to all generation. God created every one of us with a mouth. And this mouth is to speak and to tell of all the good things God has done. Show forth his praise means to celebrate, to speak, and to talk to tell. And I read one time that people open their mouth at least 700 times a day. I'm not going to go there. Most of David's Psalms are prayers in a praise format when you read Psalms. Praise, expression, adoration, and who the worth of God is. And he made us with a voice to speak forth his praise. He says, I'm the Lord your God, who brought you out from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. And you know what? God don't get the glory until we tell somebody or we show somebody how good God is. Amen. Church said amen.
Amen.
So your challenge this week is to get up in the morning. Say, God, this is what I've got to do today. And in whatever I do, I'm going to do it as unto you, as service unto you. Amen. And I'm not going to quit this week. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's stand.
Amen.
Father God, we just receive your word today. We just receive that word of we're not going to quit, Lord. But you're going to infuse us with such an inner strength to keep on keeping on.
Amen.
And you're going to give us signs along the way that says you're going in the right direction.
Amen.
Just keep on keeping on. We thank you that we're anointed to do that, Lord. And when we go out, Lord, that our platform in this world is to not beat people over the head with your word, but offer them the love and grace of Jesus Christ, because you have showed us much grace and you have shown us much love. And with that, God, we go out of this place and take that which we have learned and spread it to whoever that you put in our path, God. We're so thankful for you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for what you're doing in this place and for the outpouring of your spirit, Lord. Thank you for your word that's settled. And because it's settled with you, it's settled with us. And we pray for those on the prayer request. If you have a prayer request, somebody on your heart, just lift your hand right now. We speak healing to them in the name of Jesus. We speak divine reversal to everything that's been spoken over them that's not of your word, Father God. We speak salvation to the lost in the name of Jesus. And we say, rise up and be healed by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. And I just speak to the one right now, Lord, that's got the bad report on a kidney disease. I curse that thing at the very root, and I say that you're healed by the stripes of Jesus.
Amen.
I know what the doctors may have said, but that's not what the word says. And I speak to your kidneys to begin to function like they're supposed to in the name of Jesus, that you are healed. That you are healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. For the person with pain in their foot right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing over that. Whatever has caused the pain, we speak it to be reversed in the name of Jesus. And that you're going to walk pain-free from this day forth. In Jesus' name, you are healed. Thank you, Father. If you're having symptoms in your body, just lay your hand on your body today. As a point of contact,
Father, I speak to that one right now in the name of Jesus is in this place that needs healing in their body. I speak the palpitations of the heart to begin to come into rhythm in the name of Jesus. That your heart begins to beat at a normal pace. Oh, Rabba Shoto Sembatata Lianto Combo Hosia. Nante Lita So Natita Namashenda Dita Kosehetia. In Jesus' name, that you're not to live in fear, but in faith, see yourself healed. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus.
Pastor wanted me to share, I'll just speak right here. Everybody can hear me right here. That through all that we went through back in February when Pastor died and the Lord brought him back, we still had a process of everything in his body had to come back to life. So we went through the period. He was on the ventilator for 11 days. And we went through the process. I mean, and I shared a little bit of this, but I mean, it's just like they started feeding, giving him food in a tube, and then they would draw it out and measure it to see if his stomach was even digesting it. So it was a process of everything beginning to work again. And the last thing that we had to deal with were his kidneys, because they kept saying, well, every day, for three weeks, those kidneys are going to turn around. They're going to turn around. Well, they kept, you know, all the labs kept going higher and higher and higher. And it even got to the point that the creatinine was 6-something. And the BUN was so high, and you all that know stuff, that they didn't have to give him a sedative anymore because, you know, he was confused because of his kidneys weren't functioning properly. And they started dialysis. Well, we'd already had 3 treatments, and there was 3 doctors on this team, and two of the doctors they'd come in and say, we still waiting for those kidneys to turn around. Still waiting for them to turn around. That was it. Turn around. And this one doctor, though, he didn't believe. Well, said, tell you what. Said, we're going to have to get him set up for a permanent port so he can get dialysis. And then one of the nurses said, well, you know, if he's on dialysis when he leaves here, he's going to have to go to rehab. He can't go to a regular rehab. He's going to have to go to Kindred in Louisville. That's where they send everybody that's in bad shape, that they may not make it. Or they've got like dialysis or something like that that they can't get anywhere else while they're in rehab and stuff like that, you know. So I just heard all this. And this was on Thursday night, well, we went to rehab February 29th on Monday, and this was a Thursday night before that, and they were still talking dialysis and had already contacted Kindred. Well, that Thursday night I'm sitting there, and they've got him scheduled for more dialysis, and they've already come in and marked him up where they're going to put a permanent port in there. And I just said, Lord, I know it doesn't matter if he's been on a kidney dialysis for 6 months or a year. You raised him from the dead, and you don't mean for him to be on that, and you're healing him. But I said, God, it sure would be good for him not to have to go through anymore. Going through putting a permanent port in. I said, Lord, I'm not doubting what your word says. But I said, I'd like to hear from you tonight. Well, I was reading, and you know, sometimes a message Bible says things very bluntly. If you're not familiar with that, but he said, turn to Jeremiah 29:11. I said, I know what Jeremiah 29:11 is. It's about your future. He said, turn to Jeremiah 29:11 in the Message Bible. So I started reading it, and the very words that I needed to hear from the Message Bible, the Lord says, I'm turning things around.
Amen.
I said, all right. And he said, I'm bringing you home. I said, that's enough for me. That's all I need to read. I got it. Not going to need no more. So they came in the next morning, you know, drawing the labs. And I said, we're not taking anything but a good report. Well, I said that every day anyway. They'd laugh at me. Every time they'd come in to x-ray, you know, for the pneumonia or do anything, they'd draw. I said, we're not taking anything. Just a good report today. That's all we're taking. And they thought I was kidding. But anyway, that Thursday morning, they did the labs. Well, here comes this doctor. Well, the doubting Thomas. He said, well, we don't need to do the dialysis today, so I'll just schedule it for tomorrow. And I'm thinking, don't need it. He said, the creatinine was down to 2. I went, okay. It needed to be under 3. It was something 2.9. He said, now, we'll draw labs again tomorrow. This was Thursday. Friday, he said, we'll check it again, and I'll go ahead and schedule them for tomorrow in case he needs it. I said, no, I thought, I'm not going to need it. Came in the next morning, did labs. Guess what? They hadn't dropped way down, but, you know, even 1 point or even staying below 3 is what it had to be. And that's still high for a creatinine report. And, well, we're not going to do it today. So Saturday, finally, he said, well, they started coming in talking to me about going to E-Town where we ended up going to rehab. No more talk about any more dialysis. Amen. See, turning around. You got to see it. You got to use your imagination. It's a spiritual warfare. It's a fight over everything. Now, let me tell you what his latest kidney results are. His creatinine is 1.3. I just thought I'd tell you. Normal is 1.9 is a high normal. How about that?
Amen. Turn around, turn around. Amen. Amen.
Because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within us.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
And we believe it for turnaround.
Amen.
Whether finances, physical, or anything. I want you to come up here. I'm going to lay hands on you. When I lay hands on you, you're going to begin to sense that turnaround right now in the name of Jesus. It's not, yeah. We're not going to say it could be next week, No, we're believing now. God's doing a quick work, and we're believing now for turnaround. When you leave this place, you expect yourself, whatever you're believing for, begin to just close your eyes right now and begin to see yourself more with it than without it. Amen. You've got to see yourself more with it than without it.
Amen.
Quit seeing yourself as poor and depressed and downtrodden. God says, I've come to give you life, and I've come to give you more abundantly. And when I lay my hands on you, you're going to see it quickly. You're going to see it quickly in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father Jesus. I speak turnaround in the name of Jesus. Turn around in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Turn around in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Yes, God. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Jesus. I speak turnaround right now in Jesus' name. It's not what they say, but God says, I've got the final word on every situation. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, I speak divine reversal. Man may have said this, and man may have said that, but God says, I have got it all under control, and I have got you covered.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I speak divine turnaround in every situation in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. I speak turnaround right now in the name of Jesus. Divine reversal. Supernatural taking place.
Amen.
Right now in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I speak divine reversal in the name of Jesus. I speak turnaround in every situation and every circumstance. Oh, thank you, Father God. I see a lot of paperwork.
Amen.
I see a lot of paperwork.
You need that.
Woo! God says, I'm putting some things in order. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And I just dispatch the angels right now to go. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Turn around.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Turn around in the name of Jesus. I speak turnaround in the name of Jesus. It may have been one way for a long time, but now's the time for turnaround, a divine reversal. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I speak turnaround. Oh, yeah, ha, 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 ha. My goodness. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. I seen a rabbit yesterday on Facebook, and I don't know if it's photoshopped or not, but this rabbit had ears that big. I mean, huge ears. And I see that in the spirit with you. God says your faith is like those rabbit ears right now. And it's like it's just touching the heart of Father God. And I thank you, Lord, that's going to increase.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Turn around in every situation. In the name of Jesus. I speak turnaround in the name of Jesus. Divine reversal.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. Expectancy. Amen. Expectancy. To be what you know it can be. And
Amen.
Be what you know to believe it to be.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. God says to let your imagination run wild, not like a river that runs wild that's out of control. But there's an anointing
Amen.
On your imagination just to start believing and seeing some things that are out of the ordinary.
Amen.
Because God's the God of the extraordinary.
Amen.
And He will anoint Amen. The ordinary to be
Thank
extraordinary.
You,
Thank you. In the name of Jesus, I speak Amen. Divine reversal. In the name of Jesus, over every situation, every circumstance. I speak order to things that may have been out of order in the name of Jesus. And I speak divine reversal in the name of Jesus. I just speak to your body to be healed in the name of Jesus. I speak healing over you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Every fiber of your being flows with the healing power of God. And I speak that over you in the name of Jesus. From the top of your head to the tip of your toes, I command your body to be healed and to be made whole in the name of Jesus. See yourself walking free. In Jesus' name, unfettered. Hallelujah. There it is, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. The decisions, Lord, that she is making and needs to be making comes with ease because she has the anointing that is from you and the wisdom to make the right decisions at the right time. That you are connecting her with people. And I just hear that are in the know, whatever that means. And I just speak divine turnaround in the name of Jesus. And I just continue to speak peace over you for everything that you need to do in the upcoming days. And God says to tell you that all is well. He says to tell you that all is well. And He's got you back. And He's going to tell you that He's got you covered. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, He's got you covered. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Just stand and, I guess, stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Lord, I just pray for Shauna. I speak divine turnaround in the name of Jesus. That there will be no resistance concerning your will for her life, God. That you will surround her with people that will be of an encouragement to her. And I just assure you today that you're not a letdown to your Father God. And I just speak divine reversal in the name of Jesus. Everything from the past that keeps wanting to hold on to you and to not let you go, I come against that spirit of the world right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I command you to be set free. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. I come against that spirit of addiction that wants to trap you. And I command it to fall off of you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for your anointing that destroys every yoke in the name of Jesus, that it will not raise its ugly head up again. We curse that thing at the very root and we command it to die in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God says, I tell you that you don't have to be a people pleaser, a friend pleaser. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That you've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light to show forth his praises. Oh, what an awesome God you serve. And he extends his grace and his mercy to you today in the name of Jesus. And he says for you to be free, daughter. And to walk in that freedom. Oh, Father God, I just thank you for your anointing. Just thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Lord, I just speak to my sister right now in the name of Jesus. For your grace that covers her. For your anointing that's on her to just to come to your throne and to make intercession, God. Oh, thank you, Father God. And those things that she's believing for within her family, I come into agreement with your word and agreement with Jenny that it will be as she has imagined it to be.
Thank you, Lord.
And I thank you, Father God, that you have given her an anointing to stand in the gap for her family. And as she brings them before you, Lord, there is freedom that will reign in their place, Father. And I just speak that over her in the name of Jesus. For divine turnaround, divine reversal. In the name of Jesus.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's just stand and we're going to be dismissed. And just lift your hands right now. Speak a blessing over your life. I speak God's favor over you this coming week, that you are blessed, everything that you set your hands to, that you have the wisdom of God that lives inside of you, every decision that you need to make this week can be made in the soundness of your mind with the aid of the Holy Spirit. I speak to you that you're the head and you're not the tail. The doors that are supposed to be open will begin to open and you will see God's grace in abundance this week. Go forth and be blessed and allow your life to be a platform to tell somebody that Jesus loves them. Amen. God bless you.